And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Yo, yo, welcome to Stargazing, a show about the figures and influencers that surround the superstars in NBA culture. I'm Yovan Buha, NBA reporter at The Athletic. Joining us now is Zach Gonzalez, a player development coach in the NBA. He previously worked with the Lakers for a season and currently works with Klay Thompson, Austin Reeves, Peyton Pritchard, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Max Christie, Frank Kaminsky, Mac McClung, among many others. He played college basketball at Warner Pacific University. He's a NorCal native. Zach, thank you for doing this. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Let's start with this. How and when did you fall in love with basketball?
I fell in love with basketball, I think, when I was about three. My uncle played basketball at the local high school. I'd go to watch him. And then it was around 6 years old when the local high school asked me to be their ball boy. So like water boy. So then I was always at the high school games. I just fell in love with it there. Just being around the guys and the team camaraderie. I just loved it. So I really fell in love with the game at, you know, around that age, between three and six. I was always playing it. Had the little basketball hoop in the house. Super competitive. And it was probably my favorite memories as a kid, crying if I lost, you know, so a lot of good times.
You grew up in the Northern California area. Were you a Warriors fan? Were you a Kings fan? Were you a Lakers fan? I know there's a lot of Laker fans in NorCal. were you a player specific guy, or what were you a fan of?
I was a fan. Funny how life works. I couldn't stand the Lakers. So when I started to understand basketball, kind of like, oh, it's a team game. This is how people play. Is when the Kings are really good. So the Kings and Lakers, you know, rivalry. Yeah. But I was a Bulls fan growing up. And just because you always hear Jordan. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, yeah, Bulls fan, even though never watched them. They're never on TV. When I started watching the game, like full, like, okay, set screens, I was around like 6'7". It was Sacramento Kings were like my favorite around then.
Okay, so we're talking Vlade, C-Web, Peja.
Yes.
Jay Will, and then Mike Bibby, Doug Christie, Bobby Jackson.
Yes.
All those guys.
Yes, it's one of my favorite memories. And, you know, life comes full circle all the time. I got a good mentor in my life, Doug Christie. We talk all the time. He tells me all the stories. You know, I remember being a kid and just so upset when, you know, I actually trained Robert Horry's son, Christian. And so when Robert Horry broke my heart as a kid, like so many things in life come full circle, and I'll never forget.
Okay, so we got 2002 Western Conference Finals then. That was like the low point. How old were you
low
then?
Low point. 2002, I was nine.
Nine,
so I remember staying up late watching on ABC the games. You know, that's how it worked. Come on in the Northern California area and just Robert and Kobe ripping my heart out as a kid.
Okay, but that's one of the best teams, I think, to never win a championship. Like that 2002 team.
Yes.
They're like, that's obviously, you know, that's a tough, you know, they're on the short list for one of the best teams ever to win it. But so growing up, how did Chuck Hayes impact your basketball career? I was interested in reading about you, learning about that connection. What type of impact did he have on you?
Great impact. So I didn't really get to speak to Chuck until early on in college. Growing up, I was always reading the newspaper and just like, wow, this guy made it to the NBA. That's my goal. And for Chuck Hayes, it was great because he's about 6'5", not very big. So it was like, oh, it's realistic. You can make it. And so when I finally got to speak with him, he kind of just put his arm around me and just kind of just gave me free game, just talking to me. I was working his camps, just kind of giving me advice on just how to make my dreams come true. And just I was so thankful to have a figure like that in the 209 area. Just to have someone to look up to. You know, we had guys, you know, like Adrian Oliver too, you know, that went to Washington and went to San Jose State. It was just great to have those guys and just look up to. You know, I'm always somebody, even now, just that always is always trying to look up to somebody.
And then you play college basketball. You go to walk-on at Oregon your senior year. end up becoming a player development coach with them. What was that experience like, and how did that come about?
That was a great experience. Probably some of the best times of my life. But the way that came about was funny. So I transferred to Oregon. I'm all about following your dreams and shooting your shot. So transferred to Oregon. We talked in the summer, like, yes, come walk on. And then when I got there, it was like, oh, we already have our walk on. So it was kind of lost. So through the year, I'm still in the gym. I'm still living with the guys, you know, Peyton or Will Johnson living with the guys. And then I'm always in the gym. Coach Allman always see me in the gym, just working out with the guys or whatever. So then that summer, Coach Allman, you know, brings me in and he's just like, kid, I don't know. I've never done this before. I see something in you. I don't know. I'm taking a risk here. You know, you're young. He's like, you ever thought about coaching? I was like, no, like, I don't know. You know, I won't play basketball forever. So he's like, think about it. If you're interested, you know, let's talk. And then, so we had another meeting, and in that meeting, just talking about, you know, he gave me ground rules and just like, we'll give you a year tryout. If you take it serious, I'll take care of you. You know, but if you mess around, because I was 23 at the time, don't take it serious. He was like, it's the only chance. And I prayed on it and I took the opportunity. And then they didn't really have a player development role. So I kind of took that upon myself. And we had great recruiting classes with, you know, Will Richardson, Bobo, Luke King, Miles, who's now at UC Santa Barbara. I'm missing a few. We just had some great, you know, top 10 recruiting classes. And these guys want to get in the gym. They're hungry. They want to make it to the NBA. And I was just this young, you know, guy that was like, let's work. Let's work. And I was just in the gym all the time, painting, you know, for like someone like Peyton Pritchard, you know, before practice every day, we'd go 100 spots. You know, I would play defense the whole time and just working on, you know, different, just giving them different looks, different challenges. And I just fell in love with it each day. And just being around that team atmosphere is my favorite, with something that's bigger than yourself. And Oregon really just changed my life. Just really a huge opportunity and just changed my life.
So how do you go about becoming a coach? And kind of that mindset shift of going from being a player, playing for as long as you played, and then now you got to look at it through a different lens. As you said, you're hanging out with these guys, that they're your boys. Now you're giving them feedback, constructive criticism. Like, what was that transition like for you?
That was a super tough transition because one of my roles in Oregon, I had to live with the guys. So I was living with the freshmen all the time. And as life, years go by, it was easier because I was 24. Okay, now these guys are 18. Now I'm 25. They're 18 still. But at first, like Payne Pritchard, Roman, and Mikhail, like some of those guys in the Oregon basketball team was tough, super tough because we're boys. And so just really learning, I had to become organic, really just kind of just sit quiet. First year was super quiet. And then second year, I started to speak a little more. So I've noticed it was very tough, but organically it became easier because I just built trust with my athletes and with my guys and just learned so much. And the thing I'm thankful for, I'm thankful that there wasn't a huge gap because I got to learn how guys really feel, what they go through on a day-to-day basis, the emotions, the highs and the lows. So it taught me so much as a young coach because there'd be nights I would just sit there with them at home and let them vent, just let them talk. And then you really got to dissect what information to bring to coach and what information to keep personal. So I learned so much through that. Those years, I was super thankful for that. But tough transition, but organically it got easier and it taught me so much and still the same values I carry with myself now, with my athletes now.
I feel like in a way that would almost make it a little bit easier down the road where it was like you had those tough conversations with your friends kind of early on. So like now, as you're saying, as you get older, you're a little bit older than the guys and then you don't know them as well coming into it. So like if you can have those tough conversations with your friends, you can kind of have those with strangers. Like it would almost, you know, you kind of got the tougher part out of the way first almost.
Yeah. Yeah, uncomfortable conversations are important to have and be able to learn how to have those at, you know, the age of 23. It was great. Now at 29, I can have those with Mac. I can have those with, you know, Austin, which I have all the time with him. You know, just keep it real with them. It's just, we talk every day. Same with Payne Pritchard. He's struggling. And even so thankful for, you know, tough conversations last year with Russ. Just great conversations. Just keeping it, you know, real and just building that real authentic relationship was amazing.
So you just hinted at working with the Lakers. So you land with the Lakers in 2021. How do you go from Oregon to LA and just that transition from college basketball to the NBA?
It's a little right back to kind of what I was talking about at the beginning about shooting your shot. And just I'm someone who always loves to ask questions. I love to interview people and just, hey, I'll take you out for a cup of coffee. Can you know, I just want to pick your brain. Even if it's we're not in the same field, I just love to learn from people. So how that came about, I reached out to three different trainers in the United States, three of the best I could think of, just sent them a DM. Hey, you know, I do player development. I would love to learn. Just come rebound and just learn from you. Nobody got back to me. Jordan Lawley ended up getting back to me. He's like, yeah, man, you're from 209. Come on down to Irvine. So I hopped in my car. And I was like, okay, I don't really have much money. So I drove down, made the drive. And luckily, he had a facility. So I was sleeping in my car in the gym all day with him. And then at night, I would just hang out around the gym until the gym closed and then go to sleep in the Walmart parking lot. But I was in there and Miles Simon was playing 5-on-5. And that, you know, if anybody knows Miles Simon, he's very competitive. Very competitive. I remember being like, hey, coach, just get make your brain, you know? He just lost. He was so angry. As soon as I asked, I was like,
about to rip your head off.
Sweet. I was like, oh, this is
you're like shit.
I should have not talked to him. Yeah. Bad timing. So then you know, we just have a small conversation, but I could tell he's like still fuming from this game that he just had. So I'm like, okay. Cut it short, coach. Thank you so much. Great meeting you. He leaves and then he walks back in and then he's kind of like, you ever thought about coaching the NBA? I like poker face it. I'm like, no, you know, because I don't really know what opportunities are out there. And then he's like, well, we have this, you know, these internship positions. Are you interested? Then next day he calls Oregon and then good feedback and life just kind of rolls from there. But it all goes back to saying just really shooting your shot and betting on yourself, taking chances and really, whether it's going, driving down, learn from people, putting your ego aside, just trying to learn in this, doing what it takes, sleeping in your car, doing whatever. And then to putting yourself out there, asking questions, because you know, if you don't ask, you'll never know. So I really, big quote for me, I'm cheesy with quotes. All my players, you know, always make fun of me, but, you know, it's like, why not go out on a limb? Isn't that what the fruit is? And I always think of that. So I always think that. Go out on a limb. So yeah, so it's totally different from the college game. NBA, it's more of a business, but I fell in love with it. I fell in love with it more than college. So super happy about the transition. And yeah, super happy.
What's that 2021-22 season like? Because obviously from a win-loss perspective, it wasn't the result that you guys wanted to have. A lot of injuries, but you're in a locker room with LeBron, AD, Russ, Melo, you know, several legends, Hall of Famers. What's that? You know, it's obviously different than walking into a college locker room. You walk into the Lakers locker room, arguably the most famous basketball team in the world. What's that like for you and just you soaking all that up and working with the guys, you teaching them, you learning from them, just that whole experience of the 2021-22 season?
The whole experience was amazing. I remember my first day, Coach Phil Handy, who's been a great, huge mentor in my life, so important. I remember Coach Handy was, and he texted me the night before, hey, you're starting early. You know, you're supposed to be here next week, come early. I'm working somebody out. So I show up, I walk in through the gold door. If you've ever been to Lake City, of the gold door, it's amazing. I'm like, wow, trying to play poker face. Okay, here for work. I see straight ahead. This is at like 8 a.m. It's Russell Westbrook just rolling out. I'm like, oh, well, that's Russ. Okay. Like, you know, I go introduce myself. And it was such a surreal moment from going, being a, you know, such a basketball fan and for the love of the game. So seeing Russ, it was like, whoa. And he's such a great guy. So being around these guys, it was amazing. But after kind of the shock value goes away, that shock factor, I mean, it was just all business, straight to work. And it was great. I learned so much from them. I probably learned more from them than a couple of those guys, you know, learned from me. But it was a great experience. I'm so thankful for the relationships brought from that. You know, like person I think about all the time when I think of relationships is, you know, Russ, you know, Russell Westbrook, you know, he's not in the Lakers, was so important for me last year. We shared a locker room kind of, you know, where he changed, I would change. First day, first game, I was in there on accident doing some computer work. He's like, no, stay. So then it ended up just being me and him all year in that room and just hearing him talk and getting to know the human side of him was really great, getting to know that side. And it was great. And I still carried my values from someone that instilled them in me when I was young. Just unconditional love of my athletes. And that's one thing I think I brought last year to my athletes was just unconditional love. I don't care if you score 440. I love you. We're going to get this working. But the difference with NBA guys, it's more building trust with them. You know, because everybody wants something or, you know, it's such a business. So within the NBA, John Lucas kind of told me, Zach, there's this game within the game you have to learn. Once you learn that, you'll be good. So that took some time. Then once I kind of got my feet grounded, I just continued to carry all the values from when I was younger, just unconditional love, show my athletes that. And I think that's where it really got, really my eyes opened up and really just things started to take off where guys wanted to work out all the time. It's really because they could tell I really cared about them as people before the production. And I think that's, I noticed it with Austin, you know, once just being there through when it wasn't playing, and then even when he had bad games and score 2 points or not getting at all, DNPs, and really just, you know, he trusted me. Just a great relationship came from it. I'm so thankful for all the relationships, even the guys I didn't mention, seeing LeBron up close, is how, what a professional LeBron is. LeBron's such a professional in the way, you know, his body, and someone like Dwight Howard, who's such, who teaches you, don't take things too seriously, live life, you know. And Melo is the ultimate pro. You know, I didn't know what I was going to expect from Melo, and just Melo trusting me pregame. Ah, Zach's going to work me out. Zach's got me, well, you know, he's got me, and just by myself. That was surreal too. So I was always, even though I was teaching them some things, I was learning even more from them, just how they carry themselves on a day-to-day basis and how to be a professional.
Do you have any memorable LeBron stories from last season that you can share?
The memory that comes to my head, can't tell you exactly. So I was on the sideline, and LeBron was always behind me because that's, you know, you see his chair in the gym. He pretty much said everything that was going to happen these next three up and down, you know, we're doing. And I was like, okay, see, let's see if he's right. Completely to a T. Said what was going to happen, who was going to shoot it, where he's getting the ball. Amazing things like that. And he would do it in shoot around. He'd be like, all right, you know, Kennard's going to get to the corner and then they're going to run this action. They'd run that right away and get it. And it was just like, his brain is so, he's so smart and so, and amazing to see that on a day to day and just learning. Being around LeBron, I had to pinch myself many, you know, when I first got there, it's just such an amazing experience. I'm so thankful for the opportunity last year.
And then Russ, you know, you mentioned him several times. Like, I mean, you just talked about the experience of what it was like working with him and how good of a guy he is. Like, what did you make of the criticism he received with the Lakers and you being there last season, boots on the ground, being in the locker room with him and seeing kind of the way that his game was picked apart and analyzed? And like, obviously, I think I was critical of him at times. And I think really from the start, it was not a perfect partnership, but just in terms of, you know, he needs the ball a certain amount to be his best self. Obviously LeBron needs the ball, and like there's just kind of a limitation there to how their games would kind of mesh. But, you know, seeing how it all kind of played out, obviously, you know, ends up getting traded, bought out, ends up with the Clippers, now starting with them, playing a big role with them. Like, what did you make of all the Russ discourse over the last year and a half, 2 years, and just kind of where it ended up with him going a separate ways with the Lakers and now ending up with the Clippers?
Yeah, it was definitely, I say the word, I think it's just tough. It was super tough to, because I really care for my athletes, care for my guys. You know, you'll come across some people that are numb, like, hey, it's a business, but I just kind of can't be that way. I kind of like, I'm going to be around you for so long. I got to get to know you. You know, I really got to get to know you on a deeper level. And Russ got getting to know him and just seeing the things he would go through. And granted, at times his play could have been better, but just him as a man, him as a father, as a husband was such an amazing example for me. But it was definitely tough. And so to see him smile, you know, be with the Clippers and just to see him happy makes me happy. Just like anybody you love, you want to see the people you love happy. So to see him in a better space mentally, super happy for him. Super happy for him. And he knows I have his back for whatever he needs going forward in life. I feel like it's the same. He's done great things for me. My family comes to the game. You know, he gave my little nephew, my little cousin, his shoes, and he says hi. Take pictures, and he's just been great in my life and just teaching my life. Him and someone that I think of people that teach me about life a lot, and just lessons, him and Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah has been a great mentor of mine in life. And those are two guys that last year I'm so thankful for. I still speak to every week and I get to work with. So thankful.
You mentioned some of the differences between the college game and the NBA game. Like, what is the biggest difference in navigating a college locker room versus an NBA locker room? Obviously, you know, there's the age gap, there's the money gap. You know, the NBA guys are you know, all were five-star guys who you know, played D1 or overseas at the highest levels and then, you know, come to the league. But like, I guess you mentioned trust as maybe the biggest thing, but in comparing like Oregon to the Lakers, like what's kind of the difference in you working with college guys versus you working with NBA guys?
First thing that comes to mind is I don't got to do class checks. Hey, you go to class, you go to your tutor, like, or yeah. I live with a guy. So it's like, hey, you're going to take out the trash? I mean, what are we, the parents are calling me like, hey, is my son? So that's like probably my favorite difference. Okay. But as far as
did
like
you ever have to do homework with anybody?
Yeah, I definitely sit there and make sure they do their homework and make sure they go to class. Yeah. I'm like, it's 10 o'clock. I'm like, hey, CJ, you got class? Ah, yeah. I'm like, no, we're going to class. Like, we're going. So driving him to class.
That's amazing.
Those are tough. Yeah, mostly. And kind of the trusting goes hand in hand because these young guys, you're getting their parents to send them 1,000 miles away to trust, you know, you're trusting them with their son. They're trusting you with their son. So that was big, building that trust. And then with NBA guys, it was kind of the same. Everybody wants something from them, so building that trust. The biggest difference is really just pros. And when I say pro, it's like not everybody from college makes it to the NBA, obviously. So it's like, who's a pro? At Oregon, we had a couple pros, but they came in every day, handled their classwork, no issues. You know, in the gym, you don't have to tell them to get extra work. Hey, coach, can we get extra work? Just being a pro day in, day out. And then the NBA, it's like a different type of pro. These guys are already pros, but the way they take care of their body, their way. Difference, like at Oregon, these guys might be working out 3 hours a night. In the NBA, hey, we're going to go in for 30 minutes, in and out. It's going to be hard work when you get in and out. See the way LeBron works. Works like a pro. Like, hey, I'd like to be lifting heavy weights all the time. Just mobility, you know, really just keeping things lean. So that was a big difference between, you know, the pros and college guys. Just a little bit how they work. Pros work a little smarter, you know. College guys working hard, but sometimes you have to work smarter, not harder. I mean, longevity.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And then in the intro, I mentioned, you know, almost 10 guys that you're working with. And again, I left multiple names off. Like, how do you go about building your network? Obviously, some of those guys were with the Lakers last year, you know, Austin, Mac, but, you know, some of these new guys, Max Christie, like, how do you go about the guys that weren't with the Lakers? Like, how did you build your rapport with them? You know, how did you go about, you know, branching out your NBA network?
For someone like Max Christie, I just build my relationships through sweat equity, just being on the court with those guys and just sweat. So like I was working with Toscano Anderson or Austin, and you see guys that are new to the team. They come in and they just sit there and watch. And they don't say anything. They just sit there like, okay. Then they'll come in again at night when I'm there and they'll just watch, or they'll shoot on the other side. And then they kind of, you know, I'll get a text like, hey, I would love to start working out. That's kind of how the Max Christie, you know, relationship came about. And it was great. And I coached Max in summer league, so he already kind of was familiar with who I was. And so that's how that relationship started. As far as the other guys, the Klay Thompson relationship was kind of combined with Chuck Torres. Charlie Torres was a great, another mentor of mine I learned from. And he kind of put that relationship together. And just been so thankful. And it's really just word of mouth. Just kind of your network just grows. So people are like, oh, this guy works really hard. You know, this kid, he really takes time with it. He really cares. And so I get a lot of athletes, you know, that will just DM me, send me a text. And it's kind of, it's grown that way. Or someone like Nemus Kida from Sacramento, you know, his teammate would be like, hey, who are you working with? Oh, what, you know, what's he like? So it's just really word of mouth has kind of just grown from there like that. Like, I don't really post my workouts on social media like that. I might just post a quick boomerang or something like that. But it's really just been word of mouth that has kind of exploded and grown, you know, with my roster of athletes.
What's an average day like for you during the season? And then what's an average day like for you out of the season, and kind of the difference in just sort of the workflow with the guys?
Yeah, so this year is a little different. So not being on a coaching staff. So my mornings, I always try to do something I love every day, like do something that makes me happy. And something that makes me really happy is going to Offset Coffee in El Segundo. I'll sit there in the corner and have my coffee and my little cup of coffee, a little flat white with vanilla. And then I'll start open my laptop and I'll start breaking down guys' clips. And usually the night before, I'll send everybody the clips before they go to bed. So I'll send like JTA, his Utah clips, Max Christie, his South Bay Laker clips, his minutes, Nate Pierre, Shaq Harrison, Cole Swider. I'll send everybody their minutes and then go to sleep. Then I'll wake up the next morning. I'll go through all their clips. I'll break down, if I sent them 10 clips, I'll break it down myself. So when we get together in person, I already have my notes on it. And sometimes I don't have anything to say, so I just don't put fluff in it. I only, you know, choose the clips that I feel like I can provide value for them. So then I wake up in the morning, do that, and then go to the gym, get my workout in, because I'm really trying to stay in the best shape possible. And then workouts will start probably around 5-6. You know, we'll go with Nate Pierre Lewis first. I'll get in with him, and then I started working with DeGiorgi. He's on the Clippers now. Clippers G League. He's a great player that I think a lot of people these next couple of years are going to be very surprised by. Work with him. We'll meet over here in El Segundo at the gym close by. And then at nighttime, it'll be with Austin Reeves. So after he gets his 36 holes of golf, that's what makes him yeah, happy. That's my guy.
That's what he does every day to make himself happy.
Every day. And I'm cool with it. I'm cool because you'll see the difference in Austin when he doesn't golf and then when he does golf. So it's like, did you go golfing today? Nah, man. I'm like, tomorrow, you and Jonathan Storick, you got shit. And then make sure you guys go golfing. Then we'll get in. And what's great about Austin is sometimes it's 20 minutes of film and it's 15 minutes of work. Then we play our own basketball game. It's called golf. We play together. You know, if you swish it, it's -1. If you make it, it's even. If you miss it, it's plus. So we play that literally every night just for fun. It's no impact, just free throws. It's just competitive. And we do that. And we just have fun. I try to make everything fun with my guys. So then the off season, it's a little different because the workouts are in the morning. Because during the season, everybody has practice, and I try not to be around the facility during the day, just out of respect for the coaching staff and everything Darvin's doing there. So I'll come at night. Off season, it's ridiculous. So it starts in the morning. I'll have my guys. You know, you have, you know, Matt McClung, Stanley Johnson, Isaiah Thomas will be in LA. So then it's just session after session after session. Then afternoon, kind of free, and then younger guys will shoot at night. Right, if any of them want to get shots up at night, we'll just get, you know, probably. A drill I love to do is to end with is 100 makes, only counting swishes. Something I do with Austin all the time, Cole Swider. And it's just in those drills, you're so focused on swishing it that you're forgetting how many you're making. Like I just did it with Juan Toscano Anderson last week. He's been struggling and I think he made 25 in a row and he had no idea because he's just so like, man, you forget. You just made 25 in a row. He's like, I did? Like, yes. Like now let's, you know, keep pounding those good habits. So off season, it's crazy. Not as heavy on film because at the beginning of the summer, we're going to watch all of last year. We'll sit down. And then if guys, you know, don't mind watching other guys' clips, we'll watch some other guys think they can learn from. But if not, it's just work building that sweat equity on the floor and just building that relationship with them right there.
How do you balance what a coaching staff wants from a player versus what the player wants to do or kind of views themselves as? Because obviously, sometimes there's a little bit of a gap there. And the coaching staff might want a particular role or kind of have a certain view of a player, but the player's like, you know, I can do this, I can do more, you know. But like, how do you, in working with these guys, kind of balance, like, yes, you might be able to do XYZ, but if your coaching staff wants ABC, you got to kind of do ABC and then maybe occasionally XYZ. Like, how do you kind of balance those sometimes conflicting desires?
You know, I always really, I sit back and I try to, because I'm in the middle, so I try to really see, like, where can we improve? And I, one thing I do, I always make sure I talk to somebody in the organization, somebody in the staff. Of all these teams, when I'm in Boston, I sit with the staff. They're really great about bringing me into practice, and so I'm hearing, what do you want from him? Where do you want him to get better? And so during the season, I'm really doing 70% of what they want. The player just doesn't know, you know. And so I really kind of, you know, same with Jedi Austin. Where's he getting his spots? Jedi mind trick, you know. And then 30%, I'm doing what they want. You know, they might not get to the spot in the game, but they're going to feel good. Because, like, okay, I got, you know, I did dribble, dribble, dribble. And it's like, even though I don't believe in just, all right, we're going to dribble 10 times and get to our spot. Some guys, that's what we like to do. As long as they're feeling good at the end, I'll do it. But I'm always making sure I'm speaking with the staff, speaking with organizations. It's never my show. It's a collab. I want it to be a collab with the athlete, a collab with the organization. I never want to come in and be disrespectful and be like, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. I always want to be on the same page with everybody I work with and whatever team they're on the same page. So some might be a little different, maybe 50% of where they're going to get to, or maybe the first session of the day and then at nighttime, let's add one thing to your game. So that's something I learned from LeBron. Every summer, we're going to add one thing to our game and focus on that instead of get mediocre at six things. We're going to get better at one. We're going to get great at one thing. So I try to establish that.
Well, what's the best part of the job and what's the hardest part of the job now that you've been doing this for over a half decade?
The best part is relationships. It's amazing. The relationships, like I fly out to Seattle tomorrow, I'll be with Isaiah Thomas, and that's somebody that used to practice his game winner when I was young, you know, in high school. The relationships are great with these guys, and the ups and downs, it's beautiful just to be there and kind of just your paths align, and just that's my favorite part of it, the relationships. I love you to know these guys on a deeper level off the court, and then seeing them succeed on the court is amazing. I never like take credit for it. It's just cool to see, you know. So I never like whenever they're doing good, it's like cool, they put in the work. I was just a small part, you know. I was happy to be there. And the worst part is when they struggle, when someone's hurting, and it's like sometimes I can only help them so much. Or when they get cut from a team, or this when something's going on, it's kind of like, I care so much, so each athlete has a piece of my heart. Funny is that something, they all have a piece of me. So I have an athlete right now that's struggling, and I'm like, man, I did everything I can do. I'm still figuring out ways talking to people. So that'd be the toughest part of the job. It's just when they're struggling.
Do you have an I made it moment? Or what's like the first thing that comes to mind when I ask that?
First thing that comes to mind, maybe not I made it moment, because I'm so hungry and so just like, I want more. But that comes to mind, like a cool moment for me, probably sitting with Isaiah Thomas, because for me, he is Isaiah Thomas or Clay, sitting talking with them and then them asking me what I think. And then like really like, oh, this is my chance to say how I really, you know, really, really feel, giving my honest opinion. So those moments have been like, kind of like, wow, like I'm on the right path. I'm on the right path. Someone like Isaiah Thomas, who the person he is on the court and off court is the same. You know, some people we go and like, oh, don't meet your idols because they'll let you down. He's somebody who just everybody respect. And then, you know, and I just like, oh man, like being around him, sometimes those moments are like, wow, this is great. Klay Thompson, joking around with him while he's hits 30 in a row. You know, like Chuck.
Klay seems around. Like he'd be just the best guy to hang out with.
Please, you're always welcome to come to our workouts. This summer, you're more than welcome.
I'll be there. Yeah. I'm serious. I'll be there.
Chuck always tells a story, you know, all the time. So he'll be, you know, make 30 in a row and just miss on purpose because like I'm just getting bored, man. It's just like, how is this so easy to you, you know? And it teaches you just not take life too serious, kind of how Dwight was. Just don't take things too serious, man. This is a kid's game that we get to do for a job. How amazing is that? How good is life? And so it's I always keep that in mind every day with athletes, and like, man, let's have fun. Let's just have fun.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you for your best Klay story, because you know we've seen this guy. Like, I mean, my favorite thing of all time is him doing that interview in New York about like the New York scaffolding, and just like they're treating him like he's a regular civilian, and like he does the interview, and it's like no other NBA player would actually take the time to do this interview, and like Klay's just the best.
Oh, he is the best. So I'm so thankful that, you know, Charlie Torres brought me in, you know, to that circle. Yeah, Klay's the best. Best Klay story is every time I get so excited, I ask anybody, like, what are you doing today? I'm going with Klay, going to San Clemente. I just get so happy because he just makes you feel, you know, when you walk into a room and things just light up, he has that aura, that feel. And I mean, I know they just played the other night. If you had a conversation pregame, you'd have a conversation. What's up, man? Klay, what are you going to do today? I'll probably just go to the beach, go to the water, man. Just like, yeah. Like, kind of like surfer, just chill, and it's the best. He's like, yeah. Oh, man, probably get a burrito. I don't know. Like, you're just like, all right, I can't.
So probably that's a good, that's an underrated impression of him. That's a pretty good one.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. He just, I leave the session just like, life's not bad at all. Like, I'm working with Klay Thompson, getting to, you know, it's awesome. Probably that.
And then last Klay one would be, I guess like working with him up close with the shooting, like, do you notice, I mean, obviously we know best shooter, second best shooter of all time. Like he's in that conversation, but like, I guess what's the difference in, I mean, you just mentioned like the him hitting 30 in a row and it just being like, all right, maybe I'll miss one just to kind of like have some fun, yeah, and miss one. But like, do you see even in like practice, kind of like the gap between him as a shooter and like everybody else that you work with? And like, obviously, I think the thing that people don't really get is like, you know, I'll see it at practice or shoot around or whatever. Like, even centers shooting threes are like, they're hitting like 70% of them. And like, let alone like guards are hitting 90, 95% of their jumpers. But like Clay, I'm sure it's just like a different level compared to like everybody else in terms of just different his level. Catch and shoot and everything.
Different level, yes. And it's so cool with like Clay, because as you know, he had the long layoff with the injury. And then, you know, he went through a slump this season. This season went through a bad slump where he just couldn't get out of it. So being able to, like, for myself, you know, just kind of watch, okay, why is he missing? What's going on? But also, like, getting to talk with him and be like, hey, like, what's mentally, what was that like? And just to hear how he persevered through all that is amazing. I learned so much. And Clay is competitive. Like, it didn't match up with Austin's golf schedule. And he regrets it. We talk about it every day. Clay would always be like, Austin, come shoot. Like, bring him. Come shoot together. Because he wants that competition, wants to compete. So Austin, you know, is finally committed this summer. You know, he's going to be in the gym. So we'll have a group, a nice group going, shooting competition. But Clay's someone who needs that competition. And he thrives when the moment's right there. He thrives. And he wants it, too. You see him, the passion on the court. He wants it. He's dorky, but he's an awesome guy. Like, he's awesome.
Looking back, what would be one piece of advice for someone who wants to follow in your career footsteps?
Starve your ego. Throw the ego out. Don't be afraid to go rebound for somebody and just ask questions. I think a lot of us don't want to ask for help or ask for advice. And I think that we should. We should ask for advice and want to learn. That'd be probably one of the most important things. And go for your dreams. Life is really, sounds cliche, but you know, just go for your dreams. For me, I've always been a dreamer and always wanted to bet on myself. And I wish more people did that, because it's so awesome. I get to go on when I travel, or people ask me like, how's work? I'm like, it doesn't feel like work. This is great. I love it. You know, like I'm excited to go to Seattle work with IT. I'm excited tonight to get in the gym with Austin the night before a game, and just that relationship. So do something you love. If it's not basketball, if it's being the best painter, like, man, reach out to other artists and just learn, follow your passions. Do what you love, and it really won't feel like work.
What is Zach Gonzalez doing in 2026?
2026, I will be trying to impact others as best as I can, because basketball is a vehicle and I like to use it to impact others. You know, if you see like last season, I always bring a kid down on the court every pregame because we have this platform. So I want to continue to do that and hopefully be back with a team, winning, striving to win an NBA championship. That's the goal, be back with a team. I'm excited for the future, and I want to be the best assistant in the NBA. I know what I want to do. I want to be an assistant coach, and I want to be the best. I feel like I bring something to the table, you know, with my hard work ethic and then the way I care about my athletes, that I think would be great on a team.
Long-term, is head coach the goal? Is that the dream?
No. Long-term is to be the best assistant in the NBA. So I would love to do this for the next 20, 25 years, be the best assistant, learn as much X's and O's, just learn, be there. Because I know the head coach, sometimes it's tough. You don't always get to coach. So to be an assistant, you're able to be there for the players and be there for the head coach, kind of really stress off the head coach. So I really thrive in that role, and that's the role I would love. And I, you know, after that 20-year mark, I would like to join the front office and have a little more stability for my family. You know, when I have kids, there'll be stability. They'll be able to, you know, if I can be in the front office of a team, there's a way not to worry every year about, like, are we getting fired? Are we not? You know, or what's going to happen? NBA's crazy. You know, it just the life is crazy. So definitely front office, a long-term goal.
Is there a person that you look at whose career you want to emulate? Or, you know, because when you were just talking, I feel like Phil is one of those guys who's been an assistant for, you know, like what, a decade now or so, and is, you know, beloved around the league, has had a lot of success, won championships, been in the finals. Is that one of the guys you look at? And obviously you worked with him. Who else comes to mind?
Yeah, I talk to Phil every day. I'll see him in a little bit. Phil's been a great mentor, somebody that his career has been different. Maybe not as much player development, but just career-wise, I look at like someone like Fizdale. He was a head coach, but he would always, last year, young fella, man, you know what you need to do? Front office right there. That's what you need to do. You'd be working there. You can't be doing this all life. Can't be having a family, man. Front office, you can have a family. So really him doing that, telling me that all the time. I was just with him in Utah last week.
You got to start like a social account with these impressions, man. You're crushing these.
Oh, if I wasn't in basketball, I would be a stand-up comedian, because that's like a secret passion of mine.
Okay.
So I definitely, you know, stand-up comedy. Be my basketball doesn't work out. I might catch me on stage, right. You know, at the local comedy club. But yeah, Fizdale's been great. John Lucas has been great to learn from. And then there's just so many coaches around the NBA. I'm just always following and always seeing their journey that I look up to and just admire how they treat people and how they put people first. I think that's huge. You know, how do you treat somebody who has nothing to offer you? I look at that, and that's how I see coaches, you know. Just like anybody in life, not everyone's a super nice person or a very warm person. So I definitely, there's a few coaches around the league I look up to. And, you know, Jordy Fernandez in Sacramento worked his way up. I mean, he was Elijah Brown, Mike Brown's son. He was his babysitter in Cleveland, you know. And then Mike Brown gave him a chance and worked his way up. Now he's the head assistant in Sacramento. So super. And Doug Christie, same. I mean, he was on the announcer side. So it's crazy where life will take you, but I'm always, you know, looking around, looking for just good, genuine people to follow and to learn from all their wins and losses.
Well, Zach, I really appreciate the time. Thank you so much for doing this. Anything you want to plug or where can people find you on social media?
I just want to say thank you for having me. It's a complete honor. I've been watching you work for this past year and getting to see you from afar, you know, your interviews with Austin and just everything you do with Lakers. I follow the Athletic. I've been reading it, so just thank you. Find me just at ZL Gonzalez on Instagram, and just if anybody has any questions or anything, shoot me a DM. I'm an open book. I'm here to help and here to help in any way possible.
Well, thank you, man. That does it for this episode. Thank you so much for watching and listening to Stargazing. If you enjoy this episode, be sure to drop a like and subscribe to The Athletic's YouTube channel.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.